This week's parasha is Parashat Dvarim, which begins the fifth of the books of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. We know that Sefer Dvarim is really a flashback of the events that happened to Jewish people while they were sojourning in the desert. In particular, Parashat Dvarim deals with the Jewish people leaving Mount Sinai, recounting the sin of the spies, and the nations Ammon, Moab, and Edom that the Jewish people met up with on their way trying to enter the land of Israel. I'd like to focus in on today the first pasuk, the first Rashi on the first pasuk, and really a key phrase in that Rashi that we could try to understand lessons for our lives. The pasuk says these are the words that Moshe spoke to all Israel across the Jordan, in the wilderness, in the plain opposite the Sea of Reeds, between Paran and Tophel, Lavan, Chatzerot, and Dizahav. Very fascinating pasuk, how to understand these different names found in the pasuk. There's some commentators who like to suggest that these were all different places that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people. He spoke to them in Chatzerot, in Paran, etc. The approach of Rashi, which is a famous approach, Rashi notes that the pasuk could really be divided up into two. These are the words that Moshe spoke to all of Israel, of course, the Jordan, colon. What were the words? So each of the names of the places found in this verse, these are the words that Moshe spoke. What does this mean? So we take a look at Rashi, he says, Eila Dvarim, these are the words, Lefi Shehem Divrei Tochachot, because they are words of rebuke. Umanakan Kolam Mekomot Shechisu Lifnei HaMakom Bahem. All the places mentioned in this pasuk are places where the Jewish people angered God. These are places where Jewish people encountered a difficulty in their relationship with God. For example, Dizahav is clearly a reference to the Egel HaZahav, to the sin of the golden calf. So Rashi says that the names of the places found here, these were the words that Moshe said to the people, because each place brings to mind the different sins that happened in each place. Why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu just spell out what the sin was? So Rashi continues, L'fichach satameta darim v'hizkiram beremez b'pneik vodan shal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu couch these in the form of a remez, in the form of intimation, of hinting, and not speaking directly of what the sins were, mipnei kvodan shel Yisrael, because of the honor of the Jewish people. Because of the honor inherent in the Jews, Moshe Rabbeinu, instead of full blast rebuke, rebukes them in a very kind sort of way by just mentioning the names of the places where these incidences happen, rather than going through the incidents in detail. I'd like to understand what this phrase means, this beautiful phrase, Mipnei Kvodan Shel Yisrael, because of the honor of Israel. I'd like to understand it on two levels, from the perspective of Moshe Rabbeinu treating the people this way, and from the perspective of the people about whose honor we're so careful to uphold. In order to understand both approaches, we need to understand the concept of kavod, the concept of honor. Rav Wolpe in Alei Shur in the second volume has a wonderful essay, very insightful essay, on the concept of kavod. His opening remarks in this essay, he notes, Olamenu hu olam ha'arachim. Our world is a world of value. L'chol davar yesh erech, to everything has a value. Hamitbate b'mechir shemeshalmim avuro. And we know this value, the value is expressed by the amount of money one pays for an object. So we know if we pay $3 for an object, or $30, or $3,000, or $30,000 for an object, well, that clearly is an indication of the value of the object, and one will clearly take care of a $30,000 ring a little bit more carefully than a $3 ring. This is how our world operates. It operates on judging the value of something through the amount of money that one would pay to acquire the object. When we're talking about people, ask Rav Wolbe, Ach b'mam mitzbatei erko. How can you put a value on a person? A person's priceless. There's no price tag you can put on a person. So he says, Harei b'kesev ef shalasher erko. You can't use the medium of money. But rather, he says, Hakavod shirochashim lo mevaten ne'manat erachada. The amount of honor that's given to a person is a very good indication of the value of the person. A Rosh Yeshiva, a very important person, in whose presence one stands, one does not contradict their words, treats them with respect, that's some level of indication of how important and great this person is. Clearly, a person who is something ruchani, something spiritual, needs a spiritual means to evaluate its importance. And Rav Wolbe gives a wonderful parallel to have us appreciate this concept that kavod, that honor, is the means to evaluate the importance and the value of somebody. And he says that we find by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk writes, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Svakot Melo Kala Aretz Kvodo. The God is very holy, and the whole world is filled with God's glory. Explains Rav Wolbe, the Kedusha, the holiness of God, is something very hard to really apprehend. How can we come in contact with the Kedusha, the holiness of God? It's through Melo Kala Aretz Kvodo, the whole world is filled with God's glory. So he says we see there's an interrelationship between the concept of Kedusha, of holiness, and kavod, and honor. And likewise, he says, in any place you have Kedusha, you have holiness, that's where you'll have kavod, that's where you'll have honor. Likewise, gam ba'adam yesh Kedusha, every individual has holiness. Sharei nitna bo neshama kedusha, every individual has within them a holy soul. Therefore, v'hi ha-mechayevet yachas shel kavod, that's why we need to treat every individual with honor. Every individual inherently has a neshama kedosha, a holy soul, and therefore every individual needs to be treated with a tremendous amount of honor. Rav Wolbe goes so far as to explain, based on the Sabbal Mitzvah Bladka, that a person needs to be valued and to get this honor. It's inherent in the nature, in the character of a person, to the point, he says, Chayav Tluyim Ba, a person's life is dependent on it. Every individual needs to feel valued. Every individual needs a certain amount of respect given to them. And this is so true of particularly Rachman Lutzlan, very old or sick people. When they're stopped being treated like a person and being treated like a patient, it's very difficult to continue going on in life. It's a real challenge never to lose focus of the Neshama Kedosha, of the Holy Soul, and treat every person with the kavod, with the honor they're deserving. We're familiar with the very famous statement of our rabbis that one should treat one's student, one should honor one's student like honoring oneself. The honor of one's friend should be like the honor of one's Rebbe, one's teacher, and the honor of one's teacher should be like Mora Shemayim, should be like the fear of heaven. And Rav Wolbe quotes Rabbeinu Yerucham, who says that we honor each level almost one step above where they're at. We honor a friend like a Rebbe, and a Rebbe like Mora Shemayim, like the fear of heaven, is because it's so difficult to honor people. Therefore, if we aim very high, then perhaps we'll be able to give them the honor that they deserve. And if we think about it, we understand why honoring someone is so difficult. The negative aspect, not insulting somebody, not humiliating somebody, shaming somebody, calling someone by a nickname they don't appreciate, those aspects are easy to handle. But the positive aspects of kavod, says Rav Wolbe, is very difficult. It's something that really stems, it's a bitui hagisha hapnimit that comes from within the person. It's a yitzirah, it's something that has to be constantly in formation. Depending on how one feels, how one appreciates and values another person, well, that is how much honor and respect you're going to give the other person. It's a very personal thing. We need to feel within ourselves how important, how valuable to appreciate that neshama kedosha, that holy spirit, that holy soul in another, and thereby get and appreciate it, then we'll treat those people with the respect that they deserve, we'll speak to them properly, we'll act with them with a proper manner as well. It's interesting because there are a number of categories of people where the Torah does define for us what kavod means and how to treat them with the proper respect. one's parents, one's teacher, as well as one's spouse. It says Rav will be a very fascinating idea that indeed it's sometimes easier to honor the people where we do not come in contact with that often. We're able to see the person from a distance and give them the respect that they deserve. The closer, the more intimate a relationship is, the more easily one can find faults with the other person, and therefore one can be mezalzel, one could treat this person with a lack of respect. And that's why the Torah sometimes has to go out of its way saying, although you see faults in people, because no one's perfect, nevertheless you have to be careful to treat them with the kavod, with the special respect that each category is deserving. And this is particularly true in a spouse relationship, where so often you will have a spouse that's frustrated saying, I married, I had a certain image in mind of what my spouse was going to be. And now I see all their shortcomings, I see all their problems, and I no longer feel the same way toward them, and therefore don't treat them with the respect that they really deserve. And in these cases, we know it's so important to A, look back on what were the values that you originally attracted you to that spouse. And instead of focusing in on the negative, focus in on the positive. Reinforce in your mind what are these things that really are special about your spouse, and allow them to be your focus and allow them to be the point that will allow you to give the honor they deserve. Or B, it's a wonderful idea to every night share with your spouse that part of them that you really appreciate. Tell your spouse that which you enjoy about them, that which you respect about them, and that also will induce these feelings of honor, these feelings of kavod. Because as Rav Wolbe notes, again based on Rabbeinu Yerucham, that there's a concept we have called hina'el lefanav b'mitzvos, that you should beautify yourself or beautify the mitzvos in front of God. And that's why we have a beautiful esrog, a beautiful lulav, a beautiful sukkah. We like to enhance our mitzvah performance and make it as beautiful as possible. But it's not only ben adam l'makom, between man and God, that we have this concept of making it as beautiful as possible. It likewise applies, says Rabbeinu Yerucham, to ben adam l'chaveiro, between man and one's fellow man. In treating another person, treat them with the kavod, with the dignity they deserve, and do it in a fashion that's an honorable fashion. Do it in a way that you have this na'a, this beauty in the way you do it. He quotes, Rav Wolbe quotes from Rabbeinu Yerucham, in terms of, let's say, writing a letter. You should write in a beautiful piece of paper, a beautiful ink. You should think when you write the letter, not to be Yotzei Zayin, I just want to finish the letter, but understand that someone else will be reading this letter. What should I say that will make this person feel good? How can I devote time and energy into this letter that's really speaking to the individual whom I'm addressing? I guess the same would apply very much to emails today. You know, sometimes we're in the fast-paced society, we just want to get off an email, 1, 2, 3. Spend that little extra time, hina'a lefanav b'mitzvos, and make it beautiful, make it something special, make it something that the person would want to read. So we've seen here is a definition of kavod. Kavod, honor, is the erech, is the value that we relate to people, because people are kadosh, people are holy, and therefore we relate to people in an honorable, dignified manner. And it's really a very personal thing. The more honor, the more dignified we feel about that person, the more dignity we feel toward that person, the more we will honor this person. And it's a process we need to work on. With this in mind, we can understand the first level of Rashi. Rav Chaim Shulevitz in Sichos Musar points out that although we might have thought it would have been more effective if Moshe Rabbeinu would have clearly stated each incident, Moshe Rabbeinu, however, felt that to do so was unnecessary and embarrassment to the Jewish people, and was not permissible even for the purpose of a public rebuke. The dignity of every person is sacred, and Moshe carefully weighed each word so as not to shame or embarrass a community or an individual more than was absolutely necessary. Explains Rav Chaim Shulevitz, Moshe Rabbeinu understood so deeply the kedusha inherent in every individual. And if he did not need to embarrass them excessively, it would have been sufficient just to mention the names of the places, so that is what he would do, mipnei kvodan shel Yisrael, because of the honor of the Jewish people. the sensitivity to the Kedusha, to the holiness of the people. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz goes on and gives two more examples where we see the extent of the kavod, of the honor that we need to give to every individual. He says this obligation to protect the feeling and dignity of our fellow man refers not only to the righteous people, or even to merely simple people, but rather it applies to even the lowliest and coarsest part of Klal Yisrael. And it quotes the famous Gemara in Gittin, where Rabbi Elazar said, "Know the seriousness of putting a man to shame, for Hashem espoused the cause of Bar Kamsa, who had been humiliated and destroyed his house and burnt his temple." We know the famous story where Bar Kamsa was invited mistakenly to a party. Although he offered to pay for the party, for his food, he was thrown out of the door, embarrassed, humiliated, went to the Roman government and created a rouge in order to get the Jewish people in trouble, which ultimately led to the destruction of the temple. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, let something like this happen to an individual like this who is such a lowly individual? Because everybody's feelings count. Nobody should be humiliated. Nobody should be embarrassed. And we see this in another example. It's an amazing example. Rashi tells us that the famous donkey that spoke, Bilam's donkey, was put to death right after this incident. Says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, you could have imagined. Can you imagine what Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of God's name, this donkey would have made, where the whole world could look at this donkey and say, this was the donkey that was able to respond to Bilam. This was the donkey that was able to really reflect God's wonders in this world. It would have been a living testimony to God's power in this world. However, it would have lost the dignity of Bilam if he was around, because people would say as well, look at this donkey that put Bilam to shame. And in order not to put to shame any individual, God preferred that his own honor, the tremendous sanctification of God's name inherent in this, should be put aside for the sake of Bilam's honor. This is what we're talking about, Kavod HaBrios, the amount of honor we need to have for every individual, for every person, no matter how wicked the person may be. It's a beautiful story that Rabbi Krohn tells about a Rosh Yeshiva and Beis Medrash Elyon in the 1940s, Rabbi Grabovsky, who at that time was already old, and the Bachurim, the boys in the yeshiva, used to take turns doing different errands, and among them was to take care of the Rosh Yeshiva. A new bachur arrived in the yeshiva, a new young man, and he was immediately initiated into the rotation. And he was told that he would sleep in the Rosh Yeshiva's house, and in the morning he would wash the Rosh Yeshiva's hands negovaster and lay tefillin on him and wait till he says brachos, and then he could leave, and the next boy would take over the rotation. So you can imagine the trepidation that this young man felt, that here he was going to service this great, great Rosh Yeshiva. So he comes with the bowl and the cup in order to wash Rosh Yeshiva's hands. And Rosh Yeshiva's hands themselves were shaking. And the first time he pours the water, it misses and it lands in the basin. So the boy feels a little bit bad about this, so he tries again. And this time he misses again, but it gets all over the sheets. At this point, he's thoroughly humiliated and embarrassed that here he made the Rosh Yeshiva all wet and he can't even wash his hands. Finally, he was able to wash his hands, he dried off his hands, and he helped Rosh Yeshiva put tefillin on. Rosh Yeshiva began saying brachos, and the boy was about to walk out of the door as fast as he could. And Rosh Yeshiva called him over and says, "One moment." He says, "Sit down, who are you, what's your name, it's clear that you're new here, where do you come from, who are you learning with, how are you enjoying Yeshiva?" And he makes small talk with him, so by the time the young man left, he felt much more at ease. When the young man related this story to his friends and to the members of the family, they all noted that from the time they could remember, the Rosh Yeshiva was very careful never to speak a sicha betela, general small talk, when he had tefillin on. He would only say Dvarim Shebe Kedusha, words of holiness. This was the first time that he broke his rule. Why? Because he understood how humiliated this young man felt. He understood the pain that he felt in making the whole bedclothes wet and just being awkward in his service to Rosh Yeshiva. So in order to make him feel better, he put aside his own chumrah, his own stringency, in order to assuage the feelings of another person. And this is such an important lesson in life, that sometimes we're so caught up in frumkeit that we forget the concept called menschlichkeit. There's a concept of kavod abrios, to be nice to another person, which has to be primary as part of our service of God. And the Rav Soloveitchik, the Zichrono Livracha, in the article, The Community, echoes this idea. He says that the halacha, Jewish law, attaches great significance to casual greetings, to saying hello one person to another. And he brings down the famous halacha that we're even commanded to return greetings, and in some cases to extend them, even during the recital of Shema. The halacha goes to where you are and to whom this applies. Because to recognize someone by greeting him or responding to a greeting does not contradict the performance of Kabbalat Omachut Shemayim, acceptance of the yoke of heaven. The Jewish law says to man, don't let your neighbor drift along the lanes of loneliness. Don't permit him to become remote and alienated from you, even when you are busy reciting Shema. The whole reason that God created a world was to bestow his love upon this world. Then lonely man should also affirm the existence of somebody else in order to have the opportunity of giving that love. And the Rav gives a beautiful analysis, and it really touches the core of what we're speaking about of Kavod Abrios. He says we can take, for example, an individual who's at a simcha, who's at a party, and he knows absolutely nobody, standing off in the corner. So it's not only a question of the individual's lonely. It's a question of the individual really challenges their own ontological worth. What am I worth in this world? What am I all about? And then somebody comes over to this person and taps them on the shoulder and says, aren't you Mr. So-and-so? I've heard so much about you. In a fraction of a second, his awareness changes. An alien being turns into a fellow member of the existential community. And this is the key. Because says the Rav, to recognize a person is not just to identify him physically. It is more than that. It is an act of identifying him existentially, as a person who has a job to do that only he can do properly. To recognize a person means to affirm that he is irreplaceable. To hurt a person means to tell him that he is expendable, that there's no need for him. And that's why the halacha equated the act of publicly embarrassing a person with murder, because humiliation is tantamount to destroying an existential community and driving the individual into solitude. This is the concept of Kavod Abrios, that an individual is not just an individual, it's much deeper than that. It's to understand that this person means something. They are here for a purpose. They have a neshama kadosha, this holy soul. To recognize someone, to treat somebody properly, is really to recognize at a much deeper level the importance of this individual in the world. And that's why the Sichos Musar explains that the concept of Kavod Abrios, of treating everyone properly, does not, however, stop at refraining from insulting or degrading one's fellow human being. One is also obligated to enhance and magnify the prestige and honor of one's fellow. He quotes a famous example from the Gemara in Chulin, which comments on the destruction of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, of the copper snake which Moshe had fashioned. Chizkiyahu destroyed it because the Jewish people had come to worship it as an idol. The Gemara asks, could it be that neither us or Yehoshaphat, his predecessors, destroyed it? They had destroyed all the other idols. And the Gemara answers that Chizkiyahu's ancestors left him room for accomplishment. As Rashi explained, had his predecessors not done so, he would not have been able to make a reputation for himself. And this is such an important element of Kavod Abrios. It's what we're getting back to before, of every individual needs to feel important. So often, some people are a very controlling type of person. And they say, I can do it, I can do it better than everyone else, and I'll do everything. But meanwhile, the person who's struggling to do it feels inept, feels terrible. To be able to enable somebody else to do a job, to give over something to someone else, make them feel worthwhile, make them feel that they have a contribution to make, is a wonderful chesed and a wonderful opportunity of Kavod Abrios, of treating someone properly. I was reading a book recently called The Optimistic Child by a psychologist who teaches at the University of Pennsylvania, who was talking about that this is an important component in raising children. And one of the theses of his book is the difference between mastery versus helplessness. And that when a child grows up, you should try to give them as many examples in life or opportunities in life where they will feel a sense of mastery rather than helplessness. Rather than feel that adults need to do everything for them and they can't do anything themselves, give them, set up the situation where they can be in control, where they can have the feeling of mastery, which will lead to a certain extent to this concept of optimism in the child's worldview of life. He even goes so far to say it's to change a toddler's diaper standing up rather than sitting down, again giving them the feeling of mastery versus helplessness. It also brings a beautiful story of a chassid who was very close to his Rebbe, and he used to go to his Rebbe, daven with him on the main holidays, and he used to get brachas from his Rebbe. And he had a very close relationship. The only frustration that the chassid had was that he was not blessed with children. And he asked his Rebbe many times for a blessing, and it never came to fruition. It happened one time that the chassid was traveling, and he met his Rebbe's brother, who was also a Rebbe. And as they were schmoozing, as they were talking, the Rebbe mentioned how he really longs for a child. The chassid mentioned how he longs for a child. So the Rebbe's brother said to him, "Come to me Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, daven with me, and I promise you I'll give you a bracha for a child." So now the chassid was in a bind. He always davened with his Rebbe. So now to go to his Rebbe's brother, it didn't seem proper, but yet he also wanted the child very badly. So he went to his Rebbe and he told him, "I'm in a predicament. I always daven with you every year, but your brother promised me a child. If I should daven with him, what should I do?" So the Rebbe said, "Great, my brother can promise you a child. I have been successful. Go to my brother. What's the question?" So the chassid felt better. At least he's going with his Rebbe's bracha. Comes along the first night of Rosh Hashanah, and the Rebbe notes that the chassid is indeed in shul. He didn't go to his brother. So he calls the shamus over and says, "I'd like to speak to this chassid." He turns to the chassid and says, "What are you doing here? I thought we had agreed you'd go to my brother." So said the chassid the following. He said, "If I were to go to your brother, and indeed I would have been blessed with a child, so then people would say that your brother is greater than you. And I would not want in the least to cause you to be looked upon lightly by anyone's eyes, that you are less than your brother. And therefore it is more important to me your honor than even having a child, and therefore I davened here for Rosh Hashanah." Clearly the Rebbe said for that alone, that sensitivity, he should be blessed with a child, and indeed that year he had a son. This is what we're talking about, the sensitivity to another individual. Level number one, Mipnei Kvodan Shel Yisrael, this is the secret that Moshe Rabbeinu understood. Every individual has a neshama kedosha, has a holy spirit, and therefore we need to treat them with kavod. Every individual we meet does not matter how wicked they may be, how terrible a person they may be, and most people we meet are not terrible people, they're very fine and good people. We should recognize that inner spark of holiness within them and treat them with the dignity that they deserve, not to embarrass, humiliate them, and on a positive level, do actions, speak to them in a way befitting another human being. That's level one. But then we could take this even on a deeper level. Really, a prerequisite to be able to treat people with the sense of kavod, with the sense of honor and dignity that they deserve, the prerequisite would be that an individual themselves needs to recognize the inherent kedusha, the inherent holiness that they have within them. An individual needs to act in a way where they feel that they are a dignified person, that they walk around with a sense that I am someone who's holy. I am someone who has a neshama kedosha, a Holy Spirit within me. And therefore all my actions will be actions that really reflect this dignified aspect of my life. As Rav Wolbe quotes from the Shari Avoda, from Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, "Hapetach harishon, in one's service to God, the opening point is, hu sheyeda ha'ish ha'oved erech atzmo. A person needs to appreciate the value of self, v'yakir ma'alato ma'alat avotav, and appreciate the specialness of themselves and of their forefathers, v'gadlutam v'chashivutam v'chibatam eitzel bar yisparach, and how precious they are in God's eyes. And he says on this, how special we are, how important we are, how we have this neshama kadosha, this Holy Spirit, how beloved we are to God, that will allow a person to maintain a level of a relationship with God without slipping into a life of sin. Rav Wolbe calls this the musar hachiyuvi, the positive musar, l'mo dafka malat atzmo, focusing on how great you are, how wonderful you are, how special you are as an individual. If you can appreciate how special you are, so then you'll be able to work on appreciating how special other people are as well. And this then gets us to the second aspect of Rashi. The Yakud Lekach Tov quotes the Ur Yahel, who says that there are two types of people. There's an individual who's constantly analyzing what's going on around them and trying to grow from situations. And then there are other people who are almost like in a slumber, who go through life and are not cognizant of growing and trying to change. The person who's a chai, the person who's really alive, is the person who's constantly trying to work on growing. Such were a group of people that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to. Can you imagine that all it took was just mentioning the name of the place, and that was sufficient for them to arouse themselves to do tshuva? The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to speak to them on the level of remiss, on the level of hint, to be p'nei kvodan shel Yisrael, because of the honor of Israel, it's really a compliment to Israel, because the Jewish people feel this honor within them. They feel this dignity within them. And they're always constantly trying to grow and become better. So therefore, all it took was just to name the place without going into the details, and that was sufficient to rouse the Jewish people to a level of tshuva, to a level of repentance. To the point, as we know, that Rashi says in our parasha, that Moshe Rabbeinu left the rebuke to the end of his life, because rebuke brings about such busha, such shame. And it's very difficult for an individual who feels the shame to look the rebuker in his eye. So you can imagine that they're doing a level of repentance that's going to really elicit from them this feeling of busha, this feeling of repentance. This is the greatness of the Jewish people. This is the mipnei kavodan shel Yisrael, because of the inherent kavod that the Jewish people had. Rabbeinu Yerucham speaks about this so beautifully. He says, we know in nature that there are two forces that are found in the world of nature. There's the koach ha-tzomeach, and there's the koach ha-novel. There's the power, the concept of tzomeach, of smicha, of sprouting, and the koach ha-novel, the concept of withering. Everything in life is either growing or withering. And he says, you take two trees, one tree which is full of leaves, but it's withering, and another tree which is just beginning to sprout. Which tree, in a sense, is really greater? The answer is clearly the tree that's sprouting, the tree that's on an upward motion. And he quotes a beautiful insight of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that says, Pasuk in Hosea, the 11th chapter, first Pasuk says, Ki nar Yisrael va'aveihu. The Jewish people are likened to a nar, a young lad, va'aveihu, and I love them. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, what is the shevach, what is the praise in being called a nar, a young lad, is because a nar is somebody involved in smicha, in growth, and always trying to move forward in life. And that's the level that we need to aspire to, that we need to work on. Where it came home to me this week was, I had some students over for Shabbos, and Rachel took out some cottage cheese that she wanted to eat. So as I'm giving her the cottage cheese, so one of the young ladies noted, she said, you know that when you put it back, Mrs. Smiles, you put the cottage cheese upside down. It stays longer that way. So I said to myself, here I'm going to put the cottage cheese back in my refrigerator upside down, because everyone wants cottage cheese to stay longer. Who doesn't want the freshest cottage cheese around? And here I'm so ready to change the direction of my cottage cheese in the refrigerator in order for my cottage cheese to stay longer. Am I the same way when somebody tries to point out a behavioral change that I should be a better person? Am I as quick to change? Am I as quick to acquiesce to what they have to say? I'm very interested in my cottage cheese. Should I not be as interested in who I am as an individual, in my personal growth, that I also want it to last? I also want to develop this neshama kedosha. That's the question we need to ask ourselves. Are we on a level of smicha of always trying to find through the experiences of life and what people tell us, even the derech remez, even through hinting, how can I become a better person? Or am I satisfied with where I'm at, and therefore it's a koach hanovel, the concept of withering? And this is the beautiful insight of the Alshech HaKadosh that the Shem Yishmuel brings down on the pasuk, the 51st chapter, Kapitol Tehillim, which says, Lam Natseach Mizmor LeDavid B'Vo'o Elav Natan HaNavi Kasher Ba'al Bat Sheva. That it's a song of praise when Natan the prophet came to David to rebuke him about Bat Sheva. So ask the Alshech HaKadosh, a song of praise? It should be a kina. Here he did something wrong. He's being rebuked. He's being punished. But that's the greatness of a person. That when they realize that they're being rebuked and punished, and that they understand that this is the ability to have them grow. And it's important to point things out to them, because that's how you're going to become a better person through the process. It's a lam natseach. It's a time of rejoicing. It's being open to this change. And this is the second level of Mipnei Kvodan Shel Yisrael. It's not only a question of Moshe Rabbeinu's sensitivity to the people, it's a question of how great the people themselves are. That all they need is a little bit of a reminder, just the name of a place, and that enough alone is sufficient to enable them to do a level of tshuva. If you're interested in growth, then just a little hint, just a small event in life is going to help you become this type of person always involved in growth. I think finally that both levels that we've spoken about today are reflected in the Haftarah for Parashat Dvarim, the famous Haftarah called Shabbat Chazon, the Shabbos of Vision. So the Haftarah begins out, Hear, O heavens, and listen, O earth, for God has spoken. I have reared and raised children, but they have rebelled against me. An ox recognizes its owner, and a donkey its master's trough. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. So on one level, as the Nesiva Shalom points out, is that although Yishaya Navi, Isaiah the prophet, is rebuking the people, right? I've reared and raised children, but they have rebelled against me. He still calls them banim, he still calls them children. Because no matter what we do, we're always banim, we're always children to God. God always sees within us the inherent Kedusha, the inherent holiness that's found within us. And this is that famous concept that at the time of the Chorban, the time of the destruction, Jewish people noticed that the Kruvim, that the two angelic wings, which were facing together only at a time that we were close to God, and when we were not close to God, they were facing apart from each other. At the time of the Chorban, at the time of the destruction, Me'urim Zebazeh, they were embracing one another. Because even at the time of the Chorban, there's still a tremendous amount of God's love, of banim, of children. That will never change. We are always God's banim, we are always God's children. God recognizes and understands and treats us with this kavod, with this inherent holiness. However, that's not sufficient. What we need to have is the second half. We ourselves need to appreciate that kavod. We ourselves need to feel that inner sense of dignity, honor, and glory, and that we'll act according to that level. It's not enough that God recognizes that we're budding, that we're children, that we're special, that we're loved. But do we recognize that we're children, that we're special, that we're loved? Do we want to have a relationship with God? Are we interested in growth? And that's the next puzzle. Where an ox recognizes its owner and a donkey its master's throat, but Israel does not know, my people do not understand. As the Yakut Lekal Tov notes, continuing in the writings of the Or Yahel, that this was the problem of the Jewish people. That even a shor and a chamor, an ox and a donkey, knew better than the Jewish people in terms of a relationship with God. This is perhaps the height of the insult. We do not recognize our relationship with God. We do not instinctively have that feeling of connection. This is the challenge of the Tisha B'Av, the challenge of Shabbat Chazon, the challenge of the 3 weeks, where it's not just enough to recognize that God loves us, but are we open to the relationship in the reverse? This is a time, Tisha B'Av in particular, fast days, are a time of tshuva, a time of repentance. Deep part of the repentance is that I am special. And because I am special, and because I am created in the image of God, therefore I have to behave in such a manner. I have to have my actions reflecting this. Am I interested in a relationship? Am I interested in improving? Am I going to change my life or change my conduct as easily as I change my cottage cheese because of my interest in saving my cottage cheese? Is my interest as strong or should be stronger in saving this neshama kadosha, this holy soul? So I think we've seen in summation a very beautiful idea that the pasuk here tells us that Moshe mentioned things beremez in a hint. It shows us on two levels. It shows us the way Moshe Rabbeinu valued every human being. It's a model for us that we need to appreciate the intrinsic kedusha, the intrinsic holiness of every person, and treat them with that holiness. And particularly with people who we live in and day out, not to focus in on the shortcoming, but focus in on the greatness of the person. Every person has wonderful traits about them. Build up the person. Mastery versus helplessness. Give the person the kavod. Allow them to feel wonderful about themselves. Give them their ontological worth. On the second level, the way to really reach this first level is to appreciate how we as individuals are holy. If we can have that sense about ourselves, so then it's easier to see others in this light as well, and to act with this sense of understanding the holiness of self. And that's the credit to Klal Yisrael, that Moshe Rabbeinu only had to mention it, beremez, in a hint, and that was enough for them to grow, enough for them to feel the embarrassment, to feel the busha, and to bring to a level of tshuva. And that's our challenge. We're banim gidalti v'ramamti. God always treats us like banim, like children. The question that we have is, do we recognize God? Are we on an upward pattern of the koach hatzameach, of the constantly trying to grow, and not the koach hanovel, not the withering, that we take the experiences of life and try to enhance that inner kavod, that inner dignity that we each and every one of us have. That Israel itself was on a level of just hearing that rebuke in that way was enough to move them forward, enough to change Lahavdil or Kadachis around. That was enough to feel that busha, to feel that humiliation and that shame. And that's the question we need to ask ourselves. On the one level, do we have this covenant of brios? Do we treat people with the respect of a godly being within them? But the second question is, do we treat ourselves that way? Do we see ourselves as constantly growing? Do we see ourselves as constantly moving forward? And then when people point things out to us, is our response to rationalize? Is our response to ignore it? Is our response to say, hey, they have a point? And if I am great, then I want to become even greater. I want to really develop myself. And I think that that's that double theme of Shabbat Chazon. We are great. God loves us as children. But the problem is we ourselves don't realize the greatness within us. And we ourselves don't have this relationship. And that's what sometimes a Chorban has to do. Has to awaken us to the feeling of growth, to the feeling of closeness.